It is not given to us to peer into the mysteries of the future. Still I avow my hope and faith, sure and inviolate, that in the days to come, the British and American people will, for their own safety and for the good of all, walk together in majesty, in justice.
Bear ourselves, that if the British Empire and its commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their fight.
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Skype of Cthulhu presents Acton Cthulhu, the Trailbird Monstrosities by John Hulley.
Yes, but that's what makes it so glorious. Professor Everett saved the day.
As he often does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That my whole mental image from last game was just dwarfed by the thought of Professor Everett with his gangly Santa Claus beard, picking up my MP, my submachine gun off of my loose body in the snow and just mowing down the rest of these Germans. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I just finished listening to Heroes of the Sea, so I'm all caught up on the Octoon thread.
Oh, yeah. That one was really good.
Everett is coming across as basically the whole brains, brawn, and spirit of the entire group. I'm starting to get the feeling Agent Chance is basically a figurehead. You know, they go, yes, here's our normal agent, a young, hale-hearty man who doesn't really contribute anything.
So,
anyway. So, Peebsy, me, and Jim, and that's it, huh?
At the moment, let's give Shannon another minute or two, see if he shows up, and like I say, Randall already said he'll be along. He said half an hour late, so...
We'll just say Randall's chance was stunned by the powdery white bodies.
Perhaps Professor Everett and Agent Chance are in shock at having to listen to the long info dump.
Did you read the info dump, or was that going to be something you held to this game?
I sent it in an email.
Oh, shoot. I don't know if I got that. Let me see. Octoon tonight. Wednesday's game, maybe?
It was definitely a lengthy info dump, but it was good.
Terror from the Sky. Oh, Olaf's story. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, let me see if I can... Oh, wow. That's a damn book.
It's an entire chapter from the novella. Yeah.
Can you sum up?
Well, let's see here. We have, two full pages of bullet points in the scenario. You know, or it says just look for it in the novella, which is why I just sent that. I'm not gonna try to role play this whole thing. It's a little ridiculous, I think.
Yeah, that would be a one man monologue, basically.
Yes, which is what that chapter is. You know. So basically, to summarize a little bit, so you all found Olaf, damaged, wounded very badly underneath the floorboards of the cabin. And he kind of stumblingly told you this long and involved story that the SS came to the village, claimed to be archaeologists looking for information on their Aryan heritage, and went to the local mountain, Odin's Nirkin, Odin's Fist, if you will. So then all the Nazis went up to the mountain, and then they established like a base camp, and then one day they finally went up onto the mountain. That night there was a big snowstorm on the mountain, but down in the valley, you know, where the village is and so forth, it was calm. There was a massive lightning storm on the mountain, and every day after that, the villagers would see weird lights around the peak, sudden snowstorms coming and going, loud winds, that sort of thing. The villagers were very afraid. The dogs were very afraid. The SS came back to the village, but the residents of Trollborg, were doing their level best to not have anything to do with the SS. They were threatened by the Nazis. Two nights ago from the current, when you find him, Olaf went out to spy on the Nazi base, on the SS base, the base of the mountain. And he found that it was not, he didn't think it looked like an archaeological dig. He thought it looked more like an armed camp. He found that the Nazis had a bunch of forced laborers with them, Jews and gypsies and so forth, that they brought with them up from the continent. He was trying to get back to the village when there was a bunch of light and sound on the mountain. He became distracted. He got caught up with someone that he thought was a soldier, but very quickly he realized that it was one of the laborers who had escaped the camp, a young girl. Olaf tried to take her with him back to the village, but she was too scared, so they went to one of his local hideouts, a cave that he knew. They ran into something that they didn't see but was very terrifying. Olaf got stabbed by some ice. He saw something with a giant white furred hand, cruel talons, that grabbed the girl and apparently did something to her. And Olaf was knocked unconscious, came back to consciousness sometime later, and made his way back to the camp. So that's a summary.
Okay.
And this was... Now, didn't his woman got taken too, correct?
Yes.
Malia?
Yes. Yeah, I should have mentioned that. At some point in there, the SS did take all of the... did come back.
Take all of the Trollborgians?
Yep.
Oh, here's Randall.
And I think that pretty much covers the highlights of it.
All right.
Wonder if Professor Everett forgot we were gaming tonight.
Alzheimer's, you know.
The players, he's the most punctual, he said, it seems.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Randall, how you doing?
Very good. Just catching up, so I just need a few more minutes, but we can get started if you guys want.
We already have started.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, Agent Chance, late to the party.
Yep. So that was the info dump. Olaf stops talking and kind of lapses into a rough unconsciousness. Sven is fussing over him, trying to keep him warm, tending to his wounds and so forth. Mr. Seraph looks at all of you. Make preparations. We must investigate the labor camp.
Stuffy, you were reading my mind. Let's go do some digging.
Is everyone here part of Section D, Jim?
No.
No.
Corporal Barker is not. And the two, your two British private, your two other privates working under Corporal Barker are also not.
Okay.
But you can consider that yourself, Professor Everett, and Agent Rogers are.
Okay. I will consider that while we do the preparations then. At some point I will call them aside, along with Seraph.
Okay. As you were about to do that, would the three of you make a spot hidden roll?
All right.
Yes.
Failure.
That's a fail. 73.
And I failed as well.
Oh my god. Did anyone come anyone close? This should
maybe
be a pretty
professor.
Obvious spot hidden, so. Yeah.
38, and I have a 25.
Yes, that's close enough. You happen to notice, as Agent Chance calls you over, that it looks that, you see one of the Corporal Barker's fellow soldiers is, bustling around the village, straightening things up, kind of getting your gear organized or, squared away, make some light packs to move on to the Nazi encampment. But you don't see the other one.
Oh, Peebsy. Peebsy, where's the other boatman with you?
I don't know where he is. I look around and obviously don't see him.
Two?
We did have two. I don't know where they are. Normally I would whistle for him. He knows that signal, but I don't think that's a good idea in case there's more Nazis.
Nazis.
Why don't we just go, I'm gonna go check it out. I'm gonna do a perimeter sweep.
Jim, I have a question for you I wasn't clear about from the last game.
Yeah.
The bodies of the village, it's the villagers that we were found in that weird condition, right?
No.
The dogs.
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 All the dogs in the dog pen.
Are paralyzed, and when Agent Chance touched them, they just poof into a, or touched one of them, they just went poof into a pile of snow. Yeah, there are no villagers extra.
Okay, so we have seen no human beings other than Olaf.
That is correct.
Okay, yeah, this is definitely creepy. Okay.
Well,
so, I missed out on the sanity roll for the...
It gets worse because, what we gathered from Olaf is that when he came back to the village, they were already gone. So we don't know actually what, we don't have a clear understanding of what happened to them. Even though they seem to left in a hurry, since we found food half cooked, we saw what happens to the dogs, right? So we don't know what happened to them. If something similar happened to them, and whatever it is to them ran over them, then they're just more snow in the wind.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like Seraph was saying, I think we should just go check out the encampment and see what we can find. But we got to find this other guy first.
Yeah, I was about to say, I assumed you were off looking for your other boatman.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm doing a perimeter sweep.
Make a track roll.
While you're
Corporal
talking
Barker.
To us, track. You can be in two places at once.
Track roll. Nope, 39.
Okay. Yeah, you don't find any evidence of him.
Yeah, we cannot risk a Nazi spy, so we need to find him.
Well, my track's only 10%. What about Agent Chance? How's your track?
Let me give it a try. Nope.
Oh, just for fun, I'll throw mine. What about your other boatman, Peebs? Can he track? 87. I suck.
I'm sure he can as good as any of us.
y'all are commandos. Come on, he should be able to track.
Jim, can I have the number one roll for number two?
I just rolled for him.
All right.
Corporal Barker over here. There's footprints.
Oh my god. Finally. Found your calling in life.
Yeah, he just rolled a 0-1 on his track. So.
All right, buddy. You are now an official tracker.
Hey, Peeps, take your stripes off. Hand it to him.
Oh, well, I do machines, man. I don't track people.
Look at this. They I don't understand, though. These have to be his footprints. These are obviously fresh in the snow, but they just, it just ends here right at the edge of the woods.
That's like at a tree? No, did he climb good. A tree?
It does not look like it.
Okay.
We need to get everyone over there and to check it out.
Yeah, we need to look especially for Seraph. No, recently added snow on the ground.
I think that spot hidden is going to be pretty hard.
Well, I didn't hear any aircraft. Is it possible the Germans have a balloon?
I think we... No. Well, we saw aircraft not that far off when we were like a day or two, day or so ago. So they're not too far away if they wanted to fly over here.
You can I'm just thinking, we didn't hear an airplane, but if his tracks stop here and there's not a tree, the only thing I can think of is maybe a balloon picked him up, but that's silly, right?
Yeah. I think we probably would have seen a balloon.
As you're all standing in
I don't know.
Talking and looking around.
To Olaf.
Make spot hidden rolls.
We see a balloon.
More rolls to fail.
Fail, 87.
Fail, 31.
I pass.
Agent Chance, you find a rifle. However, not which you recognize as the same model rifle that the boatman had. However, the wooden stock of the rifle is completely broken and splintered, and the barrel is completely twisted and crushed and mangled.
Well, there's something you don't see every day.
So I will kneel besides the place where I found it and see if I'm serious about looking for some sort of powder like the one that the dog turned into when I touched it the last time.
Well, you see snow.
Chancey, I think it's safe to assume whatever got the dogs got this guy.
I agree. Let's set up a perimeter. Whatever,
Colonel Bark?
Whatever got him very recently, so should be around here. Be careful, guys.
Corporal Barker, what would it take to twist a rifle barrel like that?
That would take some serious torque. That I don't want to meet whatever did that.
That would take a steam hammer, you think?
A steam hammer. Huh. Yeah.
So
nobody,
so how
no,
could
no human could do this by hand.
So there was a machine out here of some sort, and we don't. There's no tracks of it. No wheels. No tracks. Nothing.
Or a Yeti.
Oh, be serious, Corporal Barker. I'm trying to treat this as a life and death situation. One of your men is missing. His weapon is obviously mangled by a tank, and y'all are acting as if this is playtime in the snow. Be serious.
It must have gotten run over by some sort of vehicle. A very heavy vehicle.
Obviously, but
where
then
are where are the tracks? Exactly.
Was it laying snow behind it? Is that a logical supposition, perhaps? A camouflage system. Exactly, a camouflage system, Corporal Barker. See?
I don't think so. I could make a mechanical prepared knowledge roll, but I don't think there's any sort of machine out there that does that.
Out of We're character, facing dark I'm trying forces. To roleplay this.
We're facing dark forces with Nazis, so we need to be more open to things that we cannot comprehend. As you saw the dogs, right? So we can expect that the Nazis have some sort of weapon that we cannot comprehend completely.
Well,
so
I'm sure that's easily explained, Agent Chance. It's a poison. A poison gas, perhaps. The Germans were well known for using that in the Great War. What's to put it past them? They haven't developed some new poison gas that turns dogs into dust. Yes, dust.
Yeah,
it's a dust gas.
Yeah, you got it. It's poison gas. I'm going to gather the section people around me. Come and discuss. I have something to ask from you.
So that's everyone except Corporal Barker.
Yeah.
So how do you handle that, Chancey?
You're not invited, man.
So let's do it like this. I'm going to call only Seraph then, just to, not to exclude the corporal. So I'm going to call... set up
I'll Bark. Continue to debate with Corporal Barker about the merits of poison gas and balloons.
PG, it would not be so happy with that conversation.
Yes, Agent Chance, what can I do for you?
Well, I know that you have more power than any of us here. I'm seeing you at work. And I want your feedback. I want your advice on how to approach this situation. Do you think we can handle whatever got the people and dogs in this village?
Well, Agent Chance, I think that, first of all, we need to go find out what that might have been. Clearly our path lies towards the Nazis. Maybe they will have some answers for us.
Yes, I'm just afraid that whenever we face them, it's going to be in vain if they have forces that we cannot do anything against. But I agree with you. We need to move towards that camp. So that's okay. If you come up with any idea or if you have any suggestion, please come to me, okay?
I will certainly do so, Agent Chance. You are, after all, the agent in charge of this little expedition of ours.
Why don't I have any powers, Jim? All right, so I'm going to gather everyone and, you know, start moving towards the... I'm going to ask Olaf directions for, you know, for the camp, Nazi camp. He mentioned the mountain, but, you know, more specific directions so we can follow a kind of direct line towards the camp.
Well, Olaf is still unconscious, but Sven suggests just following the road that the Nazis cut through the forest.
That's probably the best plan. Yeah. Thanks, Sven. You're such
that's
a friendly
guy.
That's
very smart,
Sven. Are you just going to stay here with your brother?
No, I will come with you. I would see to... What's her name that I can't remember?
Malia,
thank you.
Well, perhaps Professor Everett should stay here with your brother.
That is an excellent idea, yes.
Everett, the Nazi killer. Go ahead.
Perhaps if we do not return, Professor Everett can at least make it out and bring word of what has gone on here back to the British command.
Yes. Great idea. So, Professor, look after Olaf, and if we don't return in 24 hours, if you don't hear from us, take him away from here. Save your life, Professor.
Professor Everett argues with you for 15 minutes that he's more useful than any of you in such an expedition, but then ultimately he sees...
So in other words, it's 14 and a half minutes of bluster, followed by 30 seconds of agreeing with Agent Chance.
Something like that.
Out of curiosity, do we have a field radio of some sort?
Nope.
So we have no way to contact the outside world.
Off comms.
Not directly.
Ah, well, okay. So we're basically counting on if we don't come back, Professor Everett can successfully ski back to the fjord. Yeah.
Yep, with his 1 week of polar survival training.
What? He looks like Santa Claus. Come on, he'll be fine.
Right, I'm quietly filling out my last will and testament and tucking it under Olaf.
Very well. So, Peebsy will kind of look over at everyone. Look over at Seraph. Well, Seraph, what's the plan? When are we going to get going? Chansey, what do you need me to do?
Yeah, we followed the path as, what was his name? Olaf's brother?
Sven
suggested. So let's take that path, and we're not going to take the main path, of course. We're going to go follow it, but from a distance, a safe distance, in case the Nazis start coming down the path.
Okay.
All right, guys, so let's start moving. Separate in two groups, one on each side of the road.
Okay, Chansey. I'll say to the other boatman guy, I'll be like, come on, let's go. Don't get lost like your buddy.
He nervously follows you.
Okay, we start going up the mountain, Jim.
Okay, sorry, just a second. I have a map here. There we go. Okay. Just as a quick note, you may all tick your occult skill as a result of listening to, as the reward for listening to Olaf's info dump earlier.
Nice.
Okay.
Occult. Interesting, as Peeves doesn't think he's heard of that before.
Okay, so you guys kind of follow the this road through the, you know, it's a very rough road, obviously. You know, the Nazis were just kind of cutting down trees and tossing them aside. You know, the very clearly, you know, there's tracks in the snow, and you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, a large group has moved through here. And as, you know, this is very fresh, you know, the trees have been cut down, you know, recently, obviously, being within the past couple of weeks. And it does not, however, it does not take long. The road comes to a clearing. In the clearing, you can see there is what you will all recognize as a rough Nazi guard post. It's a rectangular enclosure. Wooden posts topped by barbed wire. There is a guard tower, or there's a watchtower at each corner, and some heavy metal gates on one side. It's late afternoon by the time you get there, by the way. There are searchlights on top of each of the four watchtowers. The searchlights are lit, and the gates are swinging open, and you can hear kind of a low thrumming noise. You can all make an idea roll. Except for Corporal Barker, who can make an idea roll at twice.
Oh.
What's the weather condition right now?
I pass. Even with a 92, I pass.
Okay. Pass.
Okay, just I'll get to the weather in a second. You're pretty certain that the humming noise you are hearing would be the camp generators.
Well, that would explain the power to the searchlights.
The weather is cold. It is crisp, but otherwise a clear, sunny afternoon.
Now, Jim, does it sound like they have an unusual amount of generators?
No.
Okay. All right. What's up, Chansey? Yep. What's the plan? We heading in? Hello?
Did we lose Agent Chance?
Yep. Check the chat. He says I lost you.
Let's redial him.
Agent Chance is stunned by the extent of the Nazis in camp. My God! They're actually organized! Look at how well they placed those gates and that barbed wire! The machine gun nest! Excellent fields of fire! Stuff like that.
So, Chancey, what's the plan?
We don't see anyone, right, Jim?
That is correct.
That's so weird. Well, there was some activity during the night. That's what Olaf reported. That he saw from the village.
Two nights ago.
I guess we all have binoculars, right? So we can...
I don't.
I believe we do.
Binocs, okay, yeah.
Portable stove, compass, first aid sheet. Binoculars, torch, water bottle, rations, knife, and grenades.
Can we make spot hiddens using our binoculars?
You may.
Okay.
Any bonuses from the document?
98.
20. Oh, no. That's a 92. Sorry.
I didn't remove 20. The cover from mine. Oh, everything's so dark. I can't see a damn thing.
These Nazis in there. It's dark worse. Magic.
It's worse. Professor Evans smeared some soot around the eyepieces of your binoculars. I got a 22 out of 25, Jim.
Okay. Agent Rogers. Yes.
Forgotten.
You notice a couple things as you're checking out the encampment. The first is, obviously, the gates to the camp are swinging open. You know, so they're not just standing open, but you know, you can see them kind of moving a little bit in the wind, and it looks like one of them is actually hanging off its hinges.
Okay. Go ahead, sorry.
And you see that there is a sign above the gates. There's, you know, kind of a lintel between two guard towers. And written in German, or is a German phrase, "Jedem das Sein."
Okay, can I translate that with my German of 21?
You may make a German roll, yes.
Oh, I'm not automatically fluent at 20%?
What do you see, Rogers?
68. I have no idea what that meant. I relate to Corporal Barker and Agent Chance, what I see. I also make a point of mentioning to Corporal Barker, I believe I'm right about that tracked vehicle with the camouflage. Something's rammed the gate.
Mm-hmm. I still maintain Yetis.
And Yetis.
I'll look
and
over.
I'm sure you're leaving the Tooth Fairy too, don't you?
No, that's just ridiculous. That's a fail for me on my German.
Yeah, I didn't pass.
Mr. Seraph leans over. It means to each his own.
To each his own. What a strange motto for a military encampment.
Yes, no doubt their idea of a joke.
Germans have a sense of humor?
Well, perhaps these Germans do.
You're a mysterious character, Mr. Seraph. I feel like there's something you're not telling us.
He just kind of eyes you.
Well,
Do his eyes have vertical pupils like a snake?
No, they do not.
What do you say, Chansey? You want to just start and do a perimeter sweep, or where you want
to
go?
I hate to do this, Sven, but I believe the best person to go to that camp right now is you, and we'll cover from the distance in case something bad happens.
Wow.
Sending in the NPC. Good move.
I didn't think I saw a bus around for you to throw anyone under, but I guess I was wrong.
Actually, Corporal Barker, that's what hit the gate, was that bus.
Yep, that was that bus.
The plot bus.
So here's the thing. If they see you around, you can just tell them that you are from the village and that you wanted to know what happened to them, that you haven't heard from them, you know, since a couple of days ago. And let's see what they have to say. If you see something, just if they try to do you any harm, we'll kill them. Okay, Slim?
Thank you, Agent Chance. He hands you his rifle. Deep sigh. Steps out of the forest into the clearing and starts walking towards the open gate. You see him, he walks across the clearing. You know, you can see him kind of looking around, looking up at the gate. He walks in a few, you can see him walk in a few paces, kind of turn his head like he's looking around, turns around and walks back out just in front of the gates, looks in your direction. You know, kind of puts his hands up in a shrug, like, what now? I have no idea what's going on, kind of thing.
Come on, Chansey.
Okay. Let's go down there. Careful, guys. One at a time.
Just shoulder my silence then, and I'll take point with Chansey or whoever.
Okay. I will.
I'll draw my pistol and bring up the rear.
Okay, I will follow them.
And I'll yell at the other boatman guy and be like, come on, dude. Don't get lost. Don't fall behind.
He follows close behind. Okay, you make your way down, and you are standing at the entrance to the SS camp. If you see the map, the first thing you notice as you're looking, as you come into the gates, just inside the gates are two machine gun nests. Each has an MG-42. Sitting behind sandbags or snowbags, probably in this case. They're just sitting there on their mounts. You can see scattered around the machine guns are a number of cartridges, and there are also a number of scraps of some kind of fabric that appears to be bloodied, and there is a dented helmet in one of the nests.
All right, this doesn't look good at all.
What was the weather again?
Clear and sunny and cold.
Okay, I'm gonna put my hand on one of the machine gun barrels. Is it still warm?
Nope.
What kind of cloth is it? Can we determine what type of cloth, or if the helmet is obviously it's a German helmet, but I don't know. To see maybe what dented it?
The cloth appears, as you look closer at the cloth, it is, you know, there are a number of strips of it, of scraps of it, of various sizes. It appears to be some kind of black. It appears to have some kind of black and white stripes on it.
Oh no!
In a number of blood stains. The helmet itself is, like I say, has a big dent in it. You know, like it was hit with some hip. You know, like it was hit with a steam hammer, maybe.
Oh God! It's the same thing that did the rifle. Gosh, just like wild steam hammers.
And there is a badge on it that you recognize as being the badge of the SS Black Sun.
I say, Chansey, take a look at this. We knew it was those guys, but
yeah,
I don't know what did this. Obviously, inferring that it was a steam hammer, Jim. So it's like no human. What? There's nothing that could do this. It doesn't look like a bullet wound that did this to the helmet. No, what could do this, Chansey? What could do this?
The Germans did the same to your friend, the boatman. So
don't bring him up.
All right, Jim. Can we do a track?
Just a second. Go ahead, Agent Rogers.
Jim, on the map, there's an interior fence section with three little tents in it. Is that like a prison yard? Is that what that's supposed to be?
That would be, as you're looking at it from the machine gun nests. It looks like, yes, it's a stockade.
Okay, so that would be, would we assume that's where prisoners are kept, since it's a separate fenced in area inside this?
Yeah, very the camp. Yeah, very clearly it is. It's a stockade made up of wood and razor wire.
Okay. Is the door open or is it closed?
It is open.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go into the stockade and see if I can locate any prisoners in there.
Okay, just a moment. We'll come back to you. Agent Chance, you were wanting to do some tracking?
Yes.
Because that's worked so well up till now. Go ahead.
No, I failed.
Okay.
So
the snow is very disturbed, obviously. You know, there's, you know, been people running around at some point, but yeah, you can't make heads or tails of what's going on.
Jim, can I go over, Peebs will go on over and take a look at the vehicles and see if any of them been driven recently, or if there's anything wrong with them, or I don't know what's going on over there.
Okay, so Agent Rogers is headed to the labor pen. Corporal Barker is headed to the vehicles, and Agent Chance is desperately searching for footprints in the snow.
Well, anything, you know, like some sort of tracks, or, you know, not only footprints. If I can see anything that, you know, if any, you know, this is snow, so if something's been here recently, we should be able to spot it.
The only thing that you can see, Agent Chance, as you're looking around, are, you know, the large number of spent shell casings from the machine gun.
Mm-hmm.
Agent Rogers.
Yes.
As you enter the what is very clearly, you know, a labor pen. As I said, it's, you know, wood and wooden fence posts and razor wire. A series of tents. Presumably you're kind of looking around in them and so forth. Inside the tents are, you know, some very simple beds, pallet beds, some thin blankets, and straw. Behind the tents, you find a latrine trench. Spot hidden roll.
All right. No.
Make two more.
Two more. Okay. I'm also softly calling out in various languages. Hello, is anyone here? Because I'm assuming there's probably prisoners here. Failure again, and no, I'm really not seeing the details here.
Yeah, all three tents are just completely empty, you know, other than the beds, other than the beds and blankets and so forth.
Okay, well, I'll go back and rejoin the others at the machine gun nest and report I found no prisoners.
Okay, Corporal Barker.
Yes.
So you make your way over to the vehicles there. You find a... there is a half track. There are three motorcycle sidecar combinations, each of which has an MG42 mounted on the sidecar.
Nice.
And there are five three-ton trucks.
Well, I'll make a point to look in the back of each of the trucks, see if there's anything inside the back of them.
No, they're all empty.
Mm.
You do find, you know, kind of, you know, behind and off to the side of the trucks, there are a number of large fuel drums as well.
Are they mostly full?
They are mostly full, yes.
Hmm, quite handy. All right. I'll go report back to Chansey. Oh, I don't see any... All the vehicles look like they're in fine working order? They don't look like they've been tampered with or anything's wrong with them?
Give me a mechanical repair roll.
33, that's a success.
Yep, they're all good.
Awesome. That is great. All right, vehicle apiece. Pick your poison. I know Chance wants the half track. And... yeah, I'll just head back and report to Agent Rogers and Chansey and Seraph and tell them, I don't know, vehicles are all fine. There's nothing wrong over there. Got a bunch of fuel. We can get out of here easy.
Still got your boatman with you?
I don't know. Did he keep up?
Yes, he's been shadowing you.
Hmm. Better be. If he wants to survive.
Well, I will say let's get one truck running. Just in case we need to leave in a hurry.
Yeah.
Have we enough fuel?
I can do that. I can fill one up all the way and we can just leave it idling.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't know what we are dealing with.
But I don't know. I mean, it's pretty quiet out here. Any noise might bring anything this way if we make that happen. Because the trucks are pretty loud.
Okay, where are we missing, Jim?
I can fuel one up, but we should
let's
search the rest of the camp, Chansey. I don't know.
I agree.
It's your call.
Mm-hmm.
Boss?
I agree.
I think we should take each tent one at a time.
Yeah. Perimeter sweep the rest of the...
Yeah, we have looked into the trucks and the prisoners' tents, right?
Correct.
So we're missing
all the other ones.
Yeah. So... Let's go one by one, guys. Stay together this time. Yeah,
there's at least 10 other tents and 4 watchtowers, so we've got our work cut out for us.
Yeah. Let's get moving, then.
All right, Chansey.
So,
where to?
10 spot hidden rolls apiece, Jim?
No, not yet. So
we going small tents to big tent or big tent to small tents?
Clockwise, counterclockwise, random selection through the...
Clockwise.
Okay.
Clockwise from the main entrance.
All right.
Connect them all in some sort of arcane pattern or... You know.
Big tent to small tents.
Okay.
We follow the points of the elder sign.
As you suddenly look down and realize that you've drawn a big elder sign in the snow, yes. Okay, so you start with the big tent towards the at the top there.
Uh-huh.
As you enter it, you find what is very obviously a field kitchen. There are stoves, pans, boxes of food, field rations. Like this. It appears to otherwise be empty of people.
I'm going to go over to the stoves. Are any of them still hot?
Nope. They're stone cold.
Huh. Okay. Have any of the liquids, like, you know, I guess tea or whatever the hell they were drinking, is any of them frozen?
Yes, they would be.
Okay. Well, I mentioned this to Agent Chance and Corporal Barker. You know, the drinks are frozen, the stoves are cold, so apparently they've been gone for several hours. Whatever happened, it was not very recent.
Yeah.
Well, Olaf
something
was reporting...
bad happened 2 days ago.
Yeah. Olaf was reporting
bad.
Activity 2 days ago, so. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that on the time frame. Sorry.
Well, all right. So there's nothing. I don't see anything in here.
Spot hidden.
Yep. Go spot hidden.
Yeah, 13 out of 25. Woo!
Ooh, I got a 16 out of 20. No, a 16 out of 45.
Sorry, guys. I just impaled it.
Oh. All right.
We all bow to Agent Chance's superior eye.
He's good at something.
You find some very cold, congealed food remains.
That's twice this game, right?
Well, I'm not sure if we've eaten, so I find a cold bratwurst and proceed to snack on it.
Fair enough.
Well, Chansey and Rogers, let's head on out. Come on, buddy guy. Keep up.
Clockwise, next tent.
Yeah.
Okay, next tent over. Look in, and it appears to be a field hospital. You see beds, medical supplies, bandages, antiseptic, surgical instruments.
Well, if we don't have any of this stuff, I'm going to grab some important supplies, and getting on my pocket in case we need them eventually.
Replenish our first aid kits.
Is there anything here that would help me replenish my 3 hit points I lost to my skiing accident 2 days ago?
Yeah, I also have 3 points of damage that I was going to see if I could try and heal.
Yeah, you guys can, use the gear here and do some first aid.
All right.
On each other or on yourselves.
An aspirin and a cold compress, right?
Well, I fail.
I pass my first aid.
93 out of 50.
Yeah, I got a 70-something.
My nose bleeds a little bit more.
All right, so we're not good on ourselves. How about we try on each other?
Okay.
Is that a 1d3, Jim?
Yeah. Sorry, Agent Rogers.
Let me roll mine first. Oh, just 1 point.
Corporal Barker, I had no luck. 66 out of 50.
Yeah, 62 out of low. So that's okay. Misery loves company.
Walk it off.
Okay, let me see if I can do anything for...
Come on, Chansey.
Pips, no. And no. You look good. You look good.
I know that, Chansey, but I don't feel good.
Remember, women dig scars, Corporal Barker.
And no, I cannot do anything for Rogers.
Okay. Either, so. I'll just put a little bit more makeup on my bruises on my face. Okay, anything of interest in the tent?
Or
any files?
Any of the other tents around?
Idea rolls, please.
That's a pass.
It doesn't look like there was much done here, actually. The boxes of bandages, when you... started ripping them open to use them yourselves. First you realize that you're opening them, and they're full. It's very clearly, there was not a lot of, first aid or surgical operations going on here. Everything is, very fresh and very full.
They barely just moved in here.
Yeah, they didn't run into any action. So whatever caught him by surprise as well.
Yeah.
So we can expect that whatever happened to the people in the village and the ducks happened to the Nazis.
Yep, caught him by surprise and poof.
Turning into dust.
Yetis.
Alright, let's keep looking. See, let's find we should find the tents of the SS officers here. Maybe they have some paperwork that will make us understand a little bit more about what the Nazis were doing here.
Yeah, good idea, Chansey.
So next tent clockwise?
As you flip open the flap of the next tent, you see what is very clearly a barrack tent. There is a stove heater in the center, and then around the walls are simple cot beds. With the foot lockers on them. Everything is very neat, very tidy, squared away.
Nothing to see here, move along.
Actually, can I make... I don't know. Does it look... it doesn't look like people packed up their stuff and left, right, Jim?
Correct.
Can I make a scrounge roll? See if I don't know, find anything of interest in there?
What would you like to find?
I don't know, maybe like a really nice personal pistol that one of the soldiers would have kept in their footlocker?
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, 93 is a no.
No.
I'm going to move on to the next tent, the one in the small one in the upper right corner.
You find another barracks tent, just like this one, Agent Rogers.
Okay. Well, next one down. Long one to the right, or down and to the right of that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, as you flip open the flap to this tent, you find racks of weapons. There are some racks, some sealed wooden crates, you know, pistols, rifles, submachine guns.
Okay, boys, refill.
Is there a shotgun in here, perhaps?
No.
Okay, I'll take a rifle. Take a Mauser and a couple clips of ammunition.
You're going to get all the ammo that I can.
Yeah.
I can get a hold of for my
refill my ammo.
Gun.
Okay. And you find, you know, as you're scrounging around in here, you find a number of stick grenades. You find some rifle grenade launchers. Corporal Barker, you find a couple flamethrowers.
Oh, I strap one on.
Just right there. You just dropped everything and strap on flamethrower.
He just, yeah, grabbing all this ammo and then it, like, catches out of the corner of his eyes. Drops everything.
Agent Rogers looks at you queerly, raises an eyebrow, makes a comment about a woman finding a good purse the way you're acting.
And you find a couple flare guns as well, too.
Oh, the flare gun. One of the deadliest weapons.
We should get some grenade launchers and some grenades.
I don't feel comfortable using those. I'm taking a Mauser rifle and four clips of ammo for it.
About you, peeps?
He looks really, 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 really sad because he really wants to use the flamethrower. But he
Why
doesn't.
Can't you
use- he says, I want to use it, but I would kind of want to use one of those rocket launchers. I don't know. I think I'll take the flamethrower. He'll strap on a flamethrower.
Okay.
All right. Well, now that I've got a rifle, I'm going to head down to the looks like two tents connected by a little passageway below the armory tent.
Yep. Hang on just a second. Let me find.
Let the boys play with their toys.
Here it is.
Actually, I need stats for a flamethrower. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
No, I'll go ahead. If you're taking it, I'll go ahead and give them to you now. So you're taking the flamethrower?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Your base chance, it's a completely different new skill for you. Unless you happen to have the heavy weapons skill.
I have flamethrower at 45%.
Oh, okay. Well, there you
go.
Wow.
Nice.
Damage is 2d6.
Okay.
Base range is 25 yards. One attack per round.
All right.
And given your expert knowledge of German equipment, you would know that if the flamethrower is fully charged, which this one is.
Sweet.
There's enough flammable material there for 10 rounds.
Awesome. Malfunction?
95.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's... Ooh. Ooh. double-edged sword. All right. Or double-edged flamethrower, I guess.
Do you want to give your compatriot something interesting? Or?
Yeah. I'll have him strap one on as well.
Okay.
I got a bad feeling about this.
There are two of them, so he will happily do so.
Are you sure they know how to use them, peeps?
Oh, he'll be good. Look, buddy. Not talking to Agent Chance, talking to the boatman. Look, buddy. This is how you're going to not become like what happened to your friend, okay? Now you don't have to, like, keep close to me because you got a freaking flamethrower. You'll be fine.
Oh, Jim.
Yeah.
Not that my character's going to go back and look. I'm just asking as a player, were there any, like, demolition charges or explosives in there?
Nope. Just the grenades.
Oh, just small arms. Okay.
Yep.
Well,
I guess a rocket launcher and flamethrower doesn't count as small arms, actually. All right. Well, I went on to that tent with the little passageway connecting below that. So.
Okay. That would be... Mr. Seraph joins you while the others are scrounging through the everything else.
Like kids on Christmas.
Yeah. As you enter the smaller tent, the first one there, you see there's a large table which appears to be covered with a number of maps and charts. Off to the side is a smaller table containing a radio. The radio is switched on, but is just emitting kind of a low static. Make a spot hidden roll.
I say bingo as I open the flap to the tent.
Just Adrian Rogers.
Okay.
Made it. 14.
Okay. You happen to notice that, some of the charts on top are contain. You can't really. There's some weird symbols on them. There's, that you don't recognize. Maybe there's a floor plan of something and, some strange drawings around it. You can't really tell what it is. You just get a quick glance of it, but it's enough to be disturbing and give you a sand roll.
Oh, damn it. Okay, hold on. Failure.
1 point.
Okay. All right.
And just as you notice that, Mr. Seraph slips past you, takes a cloth from a sideboard and kind of tosses it over the charts covering them.
I look at him oddly. What did you do that for?
These should probably not be looked on lightly, my dear.
I was just about to make sense of them. I'm pretty sure I saw some old Norse runes on there. I reached to grab the towel.
He puts his hand on it. Says, I really strongly suggest against that.
I glare at him and crease my brow and look at him. Mr. Seraph, or whatever you go by, I was called on this mission specifically as a translator and expert in Norse mythology. I think there may be something of use in these documents if you would allow me to look at them, sir.
As you say that, you noticed one other feature in this small tent, that being a large map of the world. Hanging on one of the sidewalls.
Okay.
And you can see that there is a number of locations, throughout the entire globe, that have a little death's head symbol on them.
Okay, I will turn, exit the tent, and open the flap and hiss at Agent Chance. Agent Chance, get your butt in here now!
I hurry towards the tent.
Okay. You see the same thing?
This is good. I grab the map and I make a mental note of the locations in case that I lose it. Okay. Are there...
Agent Chance, while you're looking at the map, I sidle up next to you and lean into your ear and whisper, Agent Mr. Seraph may be hiding intelligence from us on that desk. He's prevented me from looking at something under that blanket.
I look at Seraph.
Mr. Seraph looks back at you.
Stare at him. Seraph, what are you hiding there? Let me take a look at that.
I strongly suggest against that, Agent Chance.
I cross my arms on my chest and glare at Seraph.
Well, I appreciate your advice, as I told you before, but if I find anything that is useful for us, I need to report it, so I need to take a look at that, sir. And I extend my arm, my hand, waiting for the papers to be handed out to me.
He pauses, looks at you for a moment. So be it, Agent Chan.
And my eyes!
Yeah, he takes the blanket off, and you can make, and you are rewarded with a sand roll.
And I failed.
1 point.
1 point? Okay. So, what is it, Jim?
There's a stack of charts as you, flip through them. One appears to be the floor plan of some kind of building. There's no notes as to exactly what it is or, where it is. although it appears from the layout and some of the markings on it, it appears to possibly be some kind of library. Another is the plan of what appears to be some kind of military base next to some pyramids.
Mm.
And the third is a map of the Orkney and Shetland Islands with a number of stone circles and ancient cairns and that sort of thing marked on it.
Okay, I guess this represents some of the points that are marked on the map.
As you look at the map, looking back at the map, you can see that there's a little death's head symbol has been stuck on a number of locations. Some of them you immediately are able to place. There's one on there's one in Moscow, one somewhere in Hungary that you're not sure where, one somewhere in eastern Turkey, one that appears to be somewhere in the French Sudan, near Timbuktu, you would guess. One is an island in the South Pacific. There's one just off the coast of Libya, and there's one somewhere in southern Rhodesia.
Well, it seems like we run into really important intelligence here. We need to report all these points back to base as soon as possible.
I subtly gesture at the radio in the corner.
Say, well, we need to take all these maps as well, the physical ones.
Yeah, for sure. Does anyone know how to operate the radio? Not everyone.
Nope.
I recognize that it's on.
So useless. Do we have any basic training on how to use the radio, team? Like, how to report back to base? Or the professor is the one that actually knew how to use it, right?
I believe so, yes.
Damn it.
What about the boatman?
No, he just kind of looks blankly at you. That's what the radio operator is for, Peeves.
God.
Yeah, I believe that's what 0.1% represents is, I know it's on. It's a radio.
Oh, I can picture the scene. All of us are around the table looking at the radio without understanding how it works. Oh,
defeated.
Technology, these radios.
Just defeated.
all cradling our chins.
Okay, so let's turn it off and let's take it to the professor and see if he can if he knows how to use it.
And we have electricity in Sven's village.
No.
Is there a hand crank for the radio?
No.
Oh, we can hook it up to the battery of the truck.
And you know how to do this?
Don't you know how to do it, Peeps?
Oh yeah, I could try and jerry rig something.
Excellent. Finally, there you go.
Let's get moving. Okay, Jim, while they're planning to set up a mobile broadcast booth, is there anything else of interest in these command tents other than the map, the papers, and the radio?
Well, on the far side of this small tent, you can see that there is another flap that leads to what appears to be a small passage into the larger tent next to it.
Okay, I'll head down the passageway. I thought we could see down the length of the two tents. I didn't realize that was shut off. Okay.
Sorry.
I'll open the little flat passageway and head into the second tent connected to it.
Mr. Seraph comes with you.
I kind of glare at him, feeling like I have a minder now.
As you enter the larger tent, you see a number of items. The very first thing you notice is that on the floor of this tent, there is a large, thick cloth that has been embroidered with a pentagram and what appears to be a silver thread. There are all sorts of runes and so forth around the pentagram. There are a number of candles, sitting on the cloth around it.
Unlit, I assume?
Correct.
All right.
Scattered around there is a cot in the tent, and scattered around the tent are a number of other items. Give me a couple spot hidden rolls.
Okay, I'll mutter, what the bloody hell were these krauts up to? Fail. Just tell me when to stop.
Fail with a 55.
Fail. Oh, you two are still back in the map tent.
That's enough. Just two.
I'm missing something. I think I'm just blown away by the scene. Can I make an occult roll to try to understand what the hell's going on here?
You may.
Ooh, made it. 11 out of 15.
You would recognize this as being the cloth and the pentagram and the runes and the symbols around it and the candles as being some kind of an occult summoning ceremony.
I'll scratch my head confusedly looking at Seraph like, what, they're summoning a mystical help? What are they looking for, demons?
Demons, ghosts, spirits of the dead. Could be anything.
I heard the Nazis were up to some weird stuff, but this is just crazy.
Could be any number of things.
Well, after we pack everything, you know, the radio and the maps and all the papers, we go into the tent with Rogers and Seraph.
Okay.
I look at you two as you walk in and go, have y'all ever seen anything like this before?
Well, no, but...
not really.
We're dealing with the occult department of the SS here, so I wouldn't be surprised. We are going to find these kind of things all around the camp.
It's not something you expect to find in an army base.
Well, this is a base of the Black Sun from the SS. So.
Corporal Barker and Agent Chance, you can both make two spot hidden rolls.
Okay. I passed the first one.
Alright.
And 0.5 on the second one.
Damn!
.3 for the first one. And 31 for the second one, so succeed both times.
Okay.
I'm feeling really useless now.
Okay. Agent Chance, as you're kind of, you know, scrounging around looking at stuff, you find what appears to be a human skull. It's engraved with a number of symbols that appear to be done in silver, inlaid into the skull. Make a medicine roll.
Medicine. I got the base. What is it? 0.1?
Something like that.
0.5.
Nope. 33.
And a mythos roll?
Mythos better. Nope. 63.
Yeah, you don't really recognize any of the symbols or anything like that. You also...
I do have a cult I can roll.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. No, I failed my occult roll. It's okay.
Or not. You also find a short carved stick with a length of hair attached to it. You can make an anthropology roll.
I'm good at that. Let's see. 84. Of course not.
Yeah, you don't really recognize, you know, what this is. You can make a mythos roll, too.
Okay. Nope.
Nope. Just a stick with some hair on it.
Jim, since I notice Agent Chance messing with the skull and the horsehair thingy or whatever it is, can I use anthropology on the skull to figure out, you know, like, is it Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal, that sort of thing, and also use it on the hair thingy?
Go right ahead.
Okay. For the skull, 13 out of 26. Is it Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal?
It is modern. It is modern human. Homo sapiens.
Any idea at 13? Would I know if it's a male or female? You can't tell the skull. That's right. You have to have the pelts for that. Okay. Rolling for the hair on a stick. No, fail on the hair on the stick.
Okay. Yep. That you don't recognize. Okay. Corporal Barker.
Yeah. Sorry if it's loud. I had to walk outside real quick.
Yeah, no problem. You find what appears to be the jawbone of some animal. It looks like a jawbone. It's, all the teeth are intact. They are all kind of sharp and serrated teeth, some of which are hollow.
Hmm. Interesting.
You can make a natural history roll.
I will do so. That will be
an ought six.
Natural history. Let's see. Oh, 10. I make it. I'm good at something.
You are not able to identify this as any kind of creature known to science.
Look. I told you, Agent Yeti.
And with that, you can make a Mythos roll.
All right. Which I can't, because I have a double zero.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure I understand what is happening. What do you see?
This is not of this earth. It's not natural. By definition, not natural.
Agent Chance can make a Mythos roll.
Oh, 01.
Oh, Chancy. Whoa.
I know it all.
You can make a sand roll, Agent Chance.
As your mind burns with this knowledge.
It's a Yeti, Chance. I know. It's a Yeti. Come on.
You realize something you were not meant to know.
That was a pass.
That's a zero loss, then. As you recognize... Somehow, perhaps you stumbled, you saw some apparently anatomical drawing in some kind of ancient tome somewhere and that you've been reading in the past couple of years. But this is very clearly to you the jawbone of something, of a creature that you have read of called a Biaki.
Oh. Okay. I will... explain that to Peeps.
It was just like, what are you talking about?
It's what? And I will describe it.
So that's just another word for
flying creature.
So what you're telling me?
This plane of existence, Peeps.
What you're telling me is that it's another name for Yeti.
No, not even close.
You're killing me, Chansey. All right. But anyway, no good.
Listen, Peeps, if you're going to stick with Section D, you need to start opening your mind about, things that you have never heard of before. All right?
I like that invitation, Chansey. I'll take it.
Did Peeps see anything else with his second spot hidden there?
Yes, he did.
Oh.
Corporal Barker, you also found a dagger.
Very nice. I'm good with knives. I like them.
It is a very ornate ceremonial dagger. The crossguard is silver. The wood grip is a wooden grip made of ebony. There is an SS button at one end, and the German national eagle and swastika inset into the wood.
Well, this is a nice little souvenir. Found something cool over here.
Hmm. As the three of you are discussing all that stuff, your red shirt boatman looks up at you with a couple books in his hand and says, "What is this? I don't understand any of this."
Where did he find them?
Apparently underneath the cot.
Oh. Well, I go over immediately interested. Books. I start looking at what he's got. How many are we talking about? How big?
There are two of them.
Jim?
Yeah.
Are you hearing that?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, we got a blast of static there for a second.
Okay. All right, so I was just saying, how many books is he holding? How big are they? What condition? Do I need to make a sample?
There are two of them. One is a small, dark, leather-bound tome, which is covered with a number of occult symbols on the cover. The other is a rather larger, ancient, or you know, you would guess kind of medieval book. That the cover has a number of runes of some kind on it.
Oh, I can read runes. 46 in Old Norse and Norse runes. I'm rolling. And I fail.
You are, well, in your failure, you are able to recognize that it is in ancient Norse, you know, and given enough time, you could probably figure it out. But it is, you know, a very ancient script, and so it would take you some time.
Okay. Would it be possible? I know skimming, I don't know if skimming would take more time than we have at the moment. Could I at least leaf through the two books and see if there's anything of interest in them, or?
Leafing through the larger one, you can see that the entire thing appears to be written in the same kind of runes as around the cover.
Okay, I will let out a low whistle and mutter something about this is going to take some time.
As you open the second one, Mr. Seraph suddenly calls out, "No, don't! What's your pal?"
Oh, God. 13.
Ooh.
Okay. As you open it, you suddenly feel just like this huge, horrible migraine just suddenly erupt in your brain. And I need a roll of 35 or less.
Oh boy, here we go. No, that's going to be a failure.
As you lose 1d3 sanity points, please.
All right. Hold on, that fell off the keyboard. 3 sanity points. Okay, that's knocking me down.
As you kind of cry out in pain, you know, Mr. Seraph, you know, kind of very quickly, you know, walks over to you and grabs the book out of your hands, and you know, he kind of looks at it for a moment, and you know, kind of furrows his brow a little bit. And walks back into the previous tent with it.
I am too busy cradling my throbbing head to care.
Yeah. Seraph, where are you going with that book?
One moment, Agent Chance. This book needs some special attention.
Okay. I'll follow his advice this time.
Say, Chansey, that guy is so weird.
I know.
Hey, but he's Jim, out of game. Do you want us to finish up the rest of the tents before we pause for the night, or what was your plan?
No, we'll just see how it goes.
Okay, because I think we got 3 more tents after this.
No hurry.
I like that answer.
Okay. Why? Okay. Well, I didn't know what your time frame was. So.
A couple minutes later, Mr. Seraph walks back into this tent where you are all kind of looking over the. Hopefully seeing to Miss Rogers and her headache as she's kind of, Mr. Seraph walks
up. Take a shot of brandy if anyone has any.
I'll give her some water.
Mr. Seraph walks up to Agent Rogers and hands her the book, the same one.
Okay. I'll hesitantly accept it.
Not to worry, Miss Rogers. It should be safe to read now.
Okay. What language is it in?
As you look at it, it is. It appears to be written primarily in German, and there's a number of runes, as you know, kind of scattered through it as well.
Mm. I take it this is not something I could read quickly, huh?
Not the whole thing, no. You are. You know, if are you going to open it again?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to try to flip through it.
Okay. As you know, flip through it. It is very clearly a journal, written in German, and appears to be the journal of a Mr. von Obertorf, whose name you should recognize. But
the short guy.
The short guy?
The short, like, kind of leader of the Nazis that went up there to Trelleborg.
Oh, yeah, in the Olaf story.
Yeah.
Knowing I know time is of the essence, I can't sit and read the whole journal. Can I read the first entry and the last entry?
You can read the first entry. I have no idea what it is, though, so just imagine it's whatever you want it to be.
We arrive at the mountain. I don't know.
No, I actually take that
spirits
back.
Spirits are
hang on a second. Just a second. Let me, this is in a completely different scenario. Where, come on. Where are we?
Oh, Jim, I'm going to read out loud so everyone else will hear too. So.
Fair enough. Ah, here we go. Okay. Yeah, so the first entry is dated February 12th. Make a German roll. No, I don't. No, you don't need to. Never mind.
Okay.
You have a 20, right?
21.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it you know, takes you a couple seconds to kind of get the feeling of it, but the very first entry is dated February 12th and reads as follows. We have arrived in this middle of the Finnish wilderness beneath the shadow of Odin's fist. It is the site, I am certain of it. For having consulted the map, and now having seen it, no other bears the characteristic shaped, named in Urgeland's saga. How fortunate we are that forgotten, forbidden text has so recently come to light in the library that was thought lost. Make an idea roll at half, Miss Rogers.
Oh, made it. 19 out of 80.
As you read that name, Urgeland's saga, it kind of triggers in your head, you know, the translation into Norse runes, and you would get, and you're pretty certain that that's the title of the other book.
The bigger one, right?
Correct.
Okay. Cool.
The entry continues. Or perhaps it is more than fortunate. Perhaps it is destiny after all that has led us here. For I must confess, I feel the spirit of our pagan ancestors at work and the hand of our Aryan forefathers on my shoulder. After our recent reverse in Rusland, it must be a sign, a gift left for us, hidden down the long centuries for our time of need. If my interpretation is correct, the Fuhrer will be most pleased, for if we attain our goal, even if the Americans enter the war here in mainland Europe, we would be irresistible. I can scarcely contain myself from exploring the mountain right away, but to practicalities first. We have found a suitable site at the base of the mountain, and the Utermensch have been put to work building a camp. I have also addressed the local peasants in the village. It is difficult to believe these people are part of the same master race, but even the purest line may have degenerate branches, I suppose. They seemed cowed by our display of arms and fierce Aryan will. I do not expect any trouble from these peasants, but if there is, I will suppress it with a ferocity that they will never forget. Nothing must be allowed to compromise my mission. Nothing.
Okay, so that was the first entry, right?
That was the first entry, yes. Mm-hmm. As you skip ahead to the last entry, it is dated March 5th.
What is today's date?
March 6th.
Okay, gotcha.
At last, we almost shattered the enchantment, but our supreme effort savagely weakened the Drotnar, killed nearly all of the hybrids, and most of the reanimated villagers. We must have more power to fuel our magics, and there is but one place to find it. They are loyal, Aryan soldiers, yet this is war, and I must have no qualms about what must be done. When the sun sets, I will unleash the Drotnar and the remaining hybrids upon the camp before their energy is utterly expended. The Black Sun will pay the toll, but they will be transformed, reborn to serve us. It is the only way. He is too near now, the Pale One, the Watchman, so close I can almost smell him. But it will be too late, too late. Tonight, our greatest work will be complete. Gugnir will be released, and the worlds will tremble at our coming.
Peeves' mouth is just, like, open. Jaw drop.
Can I make I'm not sure, German or Old Norse roll for Drotnar and Gugnir? Would I know those terms?
You do not recognize at all the word Drotnar. As you read it out, however, everyone can make a mythos roll if you want.
I have no mythos, so...
Can't do it.
Nope.
Yep, no clue. You can make...
No.
I passed my occult roll, though.
Okay, yeah, occult or... I'll even give you history at half on Gugnir.
Okay, because I was going to say, out of character, I know Gugnir, isn't that Odin's spear?
Apparently you don't even need to make the roll.
I passed my occult roll.
Yep, you wouldn't know. You'd recognize the same thing. The Spear of Odin from Norse mythology.
And this mountain is called Odin's Fist.
It is indeed.
So they were talking about the Watcher, the pale one.
I turned to Corporal Pete and I say, could this new weapon of the Nazis that snatched your man up, maybe it's called Odin's Spear. Maybe they have found some new technology or something.
Said, I don't know. Maybe. I didn't know any of those names you guys were talking about. So, could be some sort of crazy technology. It would make sense.
Well, I need more time to read this journal and look through the saga, and obviously I think Agent Chance needs to get this radio to Professor Everett. Maybe we should head back to the village.
Yeah, we could take one of these here trucks and get on back there, rig up a radio, have Professor Everett work his magic.
Okay. Agent Chance, everything we found...
Should we check the last 3/10 before we head out?
Yes.
Okay. The next 2/10 you very quickly discover are more barracks tents.
Okay.
And then the last, what appears to be a tent on the map, the one nearest the vehicles, is actually not a tent. It is a tarpaulin covering two diesel generators, which are chugging merrily away.
Well, Peavesy, should I shut these off, you think?
You just addressed yourself.
Ah, jeez. Sorry. Chancy.
Are you okay, Peeps? Talking to yourself?
It's that skull. It's got me scared, Chancy.
Right. I don't want to, you know, cause any kind of weird sounds that will attract attention of whatever is lurking there in the woods. So I will say, let's get everything in the truck and let's go back to the village. Get on the radio and inform Section D about our findings. I'm pretty sure that we'll have to face whatever the Black Song has released here. You saw the man talking about the villagers, right? So don't mention it to Sven.
Oh yeah, where has Sven been this whole time?
He's just shadowing you.
Oh, so he heard the journal entry.
Yes.
Whoops.
Well, in that case, I turn to Sven. Okay. I say, I'm sorry to hear about the villagers, Sven.
Thank you for your concern, Agent Jans. I would follow this German up to the mountain and extract some measure of revenge.
So do we turn the generators off?
No. Leave them as they are. I don't want anything changing here. Just let's take that truck and leave.
Nothing changing except for the stolen truck, the stolen flamethrowers, the missing radio, the maps, the books.
All the papers.
Agent Chance has a strange way about him.
Well, I mean about sounds in the camp. You know, if everything remains as usual, then nothing will come our way.
All right. Well, Peavesy will fuel up one of the trucks, throw all the stuff in the back, get it all ready to go.
Okay.
And I will, you know, get closer to Peeps. Listen, we need to prepare for the worst. If the Black Sun has turned their soldiers into creatures, and I can tell you that I have seen this happening before, right? So you need to trust me, Peeps.
I trust you, Chancy.
It's going to be a very dangerous confrontation, because you cannot kill what is already dead. Alright, so get that the flame gun ready.
Flamethrower, yeah. Chancy. Flamethrower.
Flamethrower, yeah, whatever. Get it ready. Get it ready and let's get moving.
Well, if you want, Chancy, I could also rig up some booby traps around here with some grenades.
Well, it will be great. Yeah.
All right.
We'll turn on the truck and we'll get everything inside and give you some chance to booby trap the camera. All right.
I'll look back to my boatman guy. Come on, buddy. We got to set up some booby traps. Let's go get all those grenades.
He joins you in doing so.
And I guess I'll just kind of put them around the perimeter with, like, I don't know, tripwire. I'm sure they have some extra wire around there.
Yep. You're able to wire that up. That's not going to be a problem. And you
So you all jump in the truck and you head back to Trelborg? Is that the plan? That's the plan?
Yeah,
for now, yes.
Clutching my books and my rifle.
That's the plan.
Okay. You make it back to Trelborg without any problem. And I believe, Miss Rogers, you're going to try to read the rest of the journal?
Yeah, I'll start with the journal. That's probably the most topical. And then, assuming, according to you, how much time I have, I'll start in on the saga. But I think the journal is the most important.
Okay. Well, it'll take you an hour or two, you know, to read through the journal, you know, which will be coincidentally about the time, about the same amount of time it takes everyone else to, you know, get the radio working and so forth. So I think this is actually going to be a good place to call it for today.
Okay.
I'll send everyone. I presume you're going to share it. The text, the full text of the journal.
Okay. Do I need to make any sandal or get any Cthulhu Mythos for the journal?
You will get, actually, there's... Sorry, just a moment. I have... Oh, come on, where... Nope.
Nope, okay.
Sorry,
after
I thought
all that built.
I thought there was. I thought I remembered seeing that, but oh no! There, wait a second. There you go. Yes, everyone, as a result of Miss Rogers reading the journal, you can all add one to your Cthulhu Mythos, and you can all lose 1 point of sand.
Jim, I'm going to assume enough time has passed from us getting back from the camp that that's not going to push me over the. Well, actually, no, that's less than 20%. Never mind. I'm good.
Yeah, and it's book reading, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's 1 point spread out over, you know, an hour or two, so no more. Yeah. No problems.
Okay. All right. So well, good game.
All right.
Yeah. How many more sessions do we have, Jim, do you think?
Well, at least one.
If we survive, then we may have an extra one.
Not more than two.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, I get the bad feeling this all ends with us going up that mountain.
Of course. That's the plan for tomorrow, of course.
Gonna be
after
awesome.
After we send the information over the radio back to Section D, and we give some time to the Agent Rogers to read the journal, then we go back to the mountain next day.
Cool.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah. All Hopefully, Professor Everett can get the radio working.
Yeah. All right, guys.
All right. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah. Hear you on Sunday. Thanks, guys. If anyone wants to play on Sunday.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah. See y'all on Sunday.
Bye, guys.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
Bye.